everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, and I have my co-host Kyle with me, and we've invited back a very special guest, Mimo Anima. Welcome back, Mimo.
Thank you for having me again.
So we're excited to have our group together to kind of wrap up our True Disciples series. And this morning, as I was trying to think about how do we wrap it up, what I felt like the Lord brought to my mind and my heart was some of the things that we've been reading in the reading plan for this past week, which was we've done Matthew 11 through 15. And I felt like as I was reading and as I was discerning, what we would talk about was, what does Jesus expect from us as disciples? So the first few episodes we've been talking about, you know, what should we do as disciples? How do we want to look at it being a disciple? But today I felt like wrapping it up would be good to talk about, what does Jesus expect from us as disciples? And it kind of went in line with some of the things that we've been reading and also what happened in The Chosen this past week. So one of the events that happened in the reading and on The Chosen was feeding the 5,000, right? So in that story, Jesus is speaking to a large crowd of people, and it's been a long time, and some people have come from far and wide, and they're getting hungry, right? And so people are getting hungry, and they don't have food, and the nearest cities and places that they could get food are far away, and they don't have that much money, so they're wondering, how are we going to feed the people? And so up comes a young boy who has 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Jesus blesses them, and there's more than enough for all the people. So I felt like one of the things that we could start off by talking about is, in this story, what is Jesus expecting from his disciples? And for us, what we can take away from it is, this boy just brought what he had, right? He had 2 fish and 5 loaves. And for 5,000 people, that doesn't seem like a lot of food, but in bringing that, Jesus was able to multiply it and feed the 5,000. And actually it was more, because it says, the Bible says 5,000 men and then also women and children too. So it's actually more than 5,000 people with just 2 fish and 5 loaves. So I thought we could get our conversation started there. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I think, so yeah, this is Kyle. I'm working on disguising my voice. So
he's got his deep, sexy voice.
A little throat thing going on, but you know what? The show must go on, so I'm here. I thought something that stood out to me in that the feeding the 5,000, Matthew 14:16, they're like, the disciples are kind of in a panic, like, how do we feed these people? There's just too many people. Like, we got to send them out to go get food. And then Jesus said, that isn't necessary, you feed them. And then I'm like, wow, he's basically just calling them out, like, step into it. Like, you can do it. It doesn't have to be me. Like, step into this. And I think that's kind of this journey we're on as a church, the BLC, the Be Like Christ thing that Barry, Pastor Barry brought up. But it's a big thing to kind of like grasp. So I thought we could maybe start with that, like, and digest, how does Jesus view the BLC, the Be Like Christ?
I feel like what you said, Damon, I think it's easy for us to compare ourselves of what I can offer to Christ or versus like, oh my gosh, I see another person and they have so much more to offer. They're more spiritually mature than me. They have skills and giftings that I don't have. But I get what you said, like the 2 fish and the 5 loaves of bread, it's very little considering he was feeding 5,000. But it's something I have that God has gifted me with. That doesn't have to be anything big, but it could be where I am at, and he calls me to start with where I'm at, not after I have walked with Christ for years and years, and I feel like I've, you know, matured enough to be used by him. He can use me anytime in my journey.
Yeah, I think that's something that as we're maturing, we're recognizing, you know, Jesus just wants us to start where we're at and then take steps towards being like him, right? So with the BLC, it doesn't have to be this big thing where I have to be Jesus today, but it's this journey that he wants to walk with us on to become more like him and to be more like him. And that's what we see with the disciples, right? They start out as fishermen, tax collectors, and other roles. And then each step along the journey, they're becoming more and more like Christ, right? And so I think it's the same way for us. It doesn't matter where we're at right now, but he wants us to step forward into being more like him each day, right? And so that, those are some of the things that we've been talking about too, is like, how do we change some of our habits? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just taking that next step, and it sometimes it looks really big and it gets scary, but really Jesus is just asking us to take that one small step, and over time those little small steps turn into something really big.
And I think it's not even just taking a step, it's actually taking on the idea of it's okay to fail. Because I saw that in one of the recent episodes on The Chosen 2, where I think it was Andrew or something was like portrayed as, we don't want to screw up. Like, we don't want to make a mistake. And then Jesus was like, it's okay. You're going to make mistakes. Like, he just flat out tells him, you're going to make mistakes. Like, don't worry about it. Like, you'll make it through, and it's not going to be as big of a deal as you think. And I think sometimes when we're viewing ourselves as being disciples, we strive for perfection, or that idea of perfection keeps us from starting, because we feel like, if I'm going to follow Jesus, I can't make a mistake. Mm-hmm. And that's not what he's calling us for. He's calling us to, you know, it's that sanctification thing. It's a process. He wants us to become like him, but it's going to take time, and it's going to be bumps along the road.
It's like a never-ending journey where we're going to continue to grow in him, and we'll never be perfect per se like Jesus, because we're not Jesus. We're called to be on that journey to be like him. Mm-hmm. And I think when we have this, our own image of expectations of ourselves, where I think it gets a lot of influence from comparing ourselves to other people, that's where it can easily fall into the pitfalls of, oh, I'm not good enough. I'll never be there. I'll never get to here. So then we almost, like you said, Kyle, like, don't want to start the process of even trying anything for God, because we're afraid we'll fail, or we'll never get to our vision of perfection is. So I like the fact that the reading plan is just one chapter a day for our church, because it's really not overwhelming to just read one chapter a day. So it's small steps, but we're still growing through reading the Bible that way.
Kyle, I think it's interesting that you're talking about the fear of making mistakes, because I think on a recent episode you shared about that was something that you have had to deal with. Mm-hmm. How do you feel like that journey has been for you, and like, what does that look like for you to now be able to kind of talk about it, knowing that that's where you used to be?
You know what? I think it really sunk in with me when I had an experience with God that he wanted me to surrender to him. And I was scared, if I surrendered to him, what would he make me do? Because I felt it was more, that's how my relationship with him was more like, is he going to not torment or punish me, but it's kind of like that, from that vein, like, he's going to make me do stuff I don't want to do. And I don't want to be put in that place. And it was interesting, because I remember it was a specific moment at a service. And I remember for the next couple of weeks, it was kind of like, okay, when's the hammer going to drop? What's he going to make me do? And that, more like that, what's he going to make me do instead of invite me to do? But then I realized after that kind of faded, it was kind of like, oh, I actually have a lot more peace now that I've committed to surrendering. And I feel like he revealed that aspect to me, of his, kind of like that side of his love that I hadn't really embraced. But I couldn't embrace it until I got to that point of, I have to trust him. I have to trust that what he's going to have me do is best for me. But actually, even if it's kind of difficult, it's going to be good. And that was a big hurdle. But once I made that hurdle, oh man, like, things have changed dramatically. Mm-hmm. But it was that I had to put like my confidence and my faith in him that he's a good God.
As you're talking, it kind of brings to mind the story again. And in the story, the boy brought his two fish and five loaves, and he gave the whole thing to Jesus, right? And so he's coming from a place of giving it all to him. And I think sometimes when we have that mentality, kind of like you were talking about, is we'll hold on to one thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, oh, I'm going to give Jesus one fish and four loaves, because then I have something for myself, right? But it's when he gave all of it and Jesus blessed the whole thing, right? So sometimes for us, we think, oh, I need to be able to bring more to the table. I need to bring a lot more than what I have. I only have 2 fish and 5 loaves, and I need to bring more. Jesus wants more from me. And then sometimes we feel like, oh, but what happens if he doesn't do something? Then I need to hold on to some, right? But Jesus just wants us to bring all of what we have, not to worry about bringing more than what we have, but also not wanting to, us to hold on to things and not give him all of it either.
I didn't think about that, but yeah, you're right. He calls for all of our, yeah, like we worship with him all our heart, all our mind, all our strength. And that's what he calls us to do. Not just part of us, not just portion of us, but all of our being. So that, yeah, that's good.
But I think it's cool, Kyle, too, the way that you talked about is when you gave it all to God, that's when you felt the most peace, mm-hmm. right? And so for the boy or for us, when we don't give him all, then we're actually living from a place that's not peaceful, that's not, that we're still afraid. We're living from a place of fear, mm-hmm. and that can actually change our experience of the whole thing.
Not for sure.
Right? And so I think for us in this situation, some of the things that we can take away from it are, you know, when we give to Jesus, just give our whole self wherever we're at and let him take care of the rest.
Mm-hmm. And I thought kind of a tie in with that in the reading was, Jesus walking on water and mm-hmm. that whole episode too. And I thought that's really, it's kind of in that same vein with Peter. You know, he says, Lord, if that's you, ask me to come out. And so he invites him to come out of the boat, but Peter still had to make that choice. He had to like put his full faith to make that first step out of the boat. Mm-hmm. He's the only one that did, right? None of the other disciples did. So it's kind of like that surrendering thing, like, okay, I'm going to put my fears aside and I'm going to do it. But then some other stuff happened after that. Maybe you could put some insight into that, Damon.
Yeah, so with that situation, kind of going back a little bit, when Pastor Barry was talking about a few weeks ago in his sermon about what does it mean to be a disciple, he talked about the different stages and really what it means when you become a disciple of a rabbi, and right, and that's where the BLC thing came from, is a disciple is training to be like his rabbi and mm-hmm. to be able to do what the rabbi does. So for Peter in this situation where he's a disciple of Jesus, he sees his rabbi walking on the water. What's the most natural thing for a disciple to do in that situation is say, well, if you can do that, then shouldn't I be able to do that too? Because mm-hmm. I want to be like you. Mm-hmm. And so that's why he asks him, hey, Jesus, if that's you, if you know, it's stormy, it's nighttime, it's dark. He doesn't know what's going on. They were talking about, you know, could it be a ghost? Could it right. be something else, right? And so in that situation, he's asking, like, is that you? Are you my rabbi? And Jesus says, yeah, it's me. And so how is his response? Like, well, if it's you, then tell me to come out on the water, right? Because he wants to be like his rabbi. And so in that situation, Jesus says, yeah, it's me. Come on out. Come out. So he invites him to come. Peter steps out and he sees Jesus and he's walking out to, but then as he's walking towards Jesus, right? And the Bible talks about this, the wind comes and the waves come and Peter's starting to look at all of these other things that are going on and he starts to sink. And as he's starting to sink, what does he do? He cries out, Jesus, save me, save me, save me, right? And Jesus pulls him out and says, you know, Peter, where's your faith, right? And so it was interesting because, you know, I always used to think growing up hearing this story that Jesus is asking, like, why did you doubt me? But another sermon that I had heard talked about this whole situation and kind of what it means to be a disciple and being a disciple of the rabbi. And kind of the perspective change was, what if Jesus is asking Peter, like, why did you doubt yourself? Because mm-hmm. I wouldn't have called you out on the water if I didn't think that you could do it. And when Peter responds to him saying, Jesus, save me, like he sees Jesus is standing on the water still. He mm-hmm. says, Jesus can rescue me. So it's not like he's not having faith in Jesus, mm-hmm. but it's when the wind comes, the waves come, all of this distractions and all of these hard times are coming. He's saying, in those times, I can't be like you, Jesus. I can't do it. I can't do it on my own. And that's when he starts to sink. So what if in those situations, Jesus is not saying, like, why did you have doubt me? It's like, Why did you doubt yourself that you could be like me? Mm. And I think that's something that we can take away from this story too, is, you know, there's going to be difficult times in our life. How are we going to respond? Is it just going to be from kind of like a victim mentality where it's like, Jesus, I need you to rescue me? Mm. Or is it, Jesus, how do you want me to walk through this to be like you in this situation?
Yeah, I think it kind of, to me, it kind of ties back to that passage I read about feeding the 5,000, where it's Jesus just saying, you do it. Like, you need to have more confidence in yourself to do what I'm calling you to do. And in my own journey, like right now, it's with the healing prayer that we're exploring at church and we're developing. And sometimes it's like, I don't know, I can't do this. And it's like, I get my, you know, to that same place, like, I don't feel confident. I can't do it. And it's like, yeah, you shouldn't feel confident in yourself. It's like, if God called you to pray for that person, then go pray for him. And it's his job to heal. It's not yours. But I think it's kind of that same mentality where we can look at ourselves and look at our weaknesses, look at our failings, look at our doubt, our fear, whatever it might be. And then that takes our focus off of, it's really about God. Like the whole walking on water thing, it's not about Peter having the ability all of a sudden to walk on water, right? It's just about him having faith that if Jesus wants me to do it, I'll do it.
Oh, I was thinking of the Stephanie Manami's podcast from our sister podcast, Catalyst Stories. And when God called her to do lots of different things, she didn't really know why, but she obeyed. And she was left with, she ended up giving away a lot of her belongings and possessions. And she was left with a little. And then, but God still blessed her with what she had, and just was, it reminded me of that when you guys were talking about having faith in God and having, trusting God that he knows what he's asking of us to do is good for us.
So if you haven't heard that episode of Catalyst Stories, go check it out. It's a really good episode with Stephanie Minami sharing about her, her testimony and then also her trip to Alaska. But Kyle, as you were talking, it really brought to mind some of the discussions that we've been having in terms of some of these things in regards to healing or some other things, and praying for people is really seeking the Lord to see, am I supposed to pray for this person? And what am I supposed to pray for this person? Because I think in the past, a lot of times it would just be, oh, someone's hurt, I need to go pray for them. Or someone's going through something, I need to go pray for them. But I think something that you've been trying to teach me recently is just seeking the Lord in those situations and saying, God, what am I supposed to pray for this person? Is it supposed to be for healing? Is it supposed to be for something else? Maybe it's something else that they're going through. And I think that that discussion has been really interesting for me because it's kind of changed my paradigm on how to step into praying for people or praying with people in different situations, because then it's not so much what I want for them, it's what does God want for them in this situation. And I think that kind of ties into this whole thing, is we want to seek what God wants for people or God wants for us, and when we do that, then we can give our whole selves to that.
Yeah, I think that's really the journey we want our church to be on this year, is hearing God's voice and recognizing when he's asking us to do, if it's something for yourself, something for somebody else. Yeah, if it's pray for somebody, if it's give some money or give a possession to somebody, whatever it is. I've had the experience in myself when I feel like God's telling me to do something, it's easy. Even if something that could be viewed as difficult, but when I know it's God, I'm like, okay, I need to do this because God wants me to do it, versus if I'm in my head or I'm not clear. But so that could be either I'm not seeking him as much and I'm actually trying to do it for my flesh, or I'm scared of, if I seek him and he tells me to do this, do I really want what he's going to say? So, I mean, there's different barriers, but I think that's really our the heart of our church, is we want people to be able to hear God's voice, be confident that they are hearing his voice, and then stepping out and responding. That's what a disciple would do.
Yeah, I think that Jesus gives us a picture of that, right? And he talks about things like, I only do what I see the Father doing, right? And so it's about that relationship and that intimacy and hearing God's voice and recognizing those times when the Father wants him to do something or when the Father doesn't want him to do something, and stepping into that. And those are things that we can take from it and say, can I do that? Can I seek the Lord in this situation to see what he wants me to do? Because I think a lot of times, too, when we think about being like Christ, we think about, oh, I have to do this or I have to do that. And really, it's more about like how his being is, right? And he's seeking the Lord or seeking his Father for what should I do in this situation? Or he said things like, it's not my time to do that yet. And so he's always in that intimate place where he's seeking God, what should I do in this situation? And that's something that we can do. We can do that. We might not have confidence that I can go out and heal somebody or do that, but what can I do? I can seek the Father and say, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? How can I respond? And I think that's something that we can pretty easily step into.
And I kind of want the listeners to hear this and wrestle with this part too, is that I see that there's like a pre-step as well. So, it's, you know, taking the step and actually doing it is one thing. And sometimes that feels like too big of a hurdle, but sometimes God just kind of puts stuff in front of us and lets us wrestle with it to be like, oh, I think I'm supposed to do this, but I can't. And that's okay too, because that's that part of that journey of being able to take those steps. So it doesn't mean just because you heard and didn't do, it's like, oh, you're a failure. But just even recognizing and hearing like, oh, I think God might want me to do this, but I can't, I'm not ready yet. That's an okay place to be. Mm-hmm. That's part of that step. So one thing I've been wrestling with lately is when I've been going to the gym more regularly, but there's this one guy, when I leave, a lot of times I see a guy get dropped off by like Uber or something. He's got a cane and he's got a brace on his lower leg. Like I think he had a stroke or something. And I've seen him 3 times. The first time I'm like, oh, I recognized it. I'm like, oh, I think he probably had a stroke. Second time I saw him, I'm like, oh, I wonder if I'm supposed to pray for him. Third time I'm like, oh, I kind of asked God, but I didn't feel like it was that day like I was supposed to. But I'm like, okay, I'm kind of on that process, that journey. It's scary to go up to somebody you don't know, but I feel like, okay, God's having me process and journey with that. But I do feel like if he tells me clearly, like, go pray for that guy, I'll be like, okay, I've kind of wrestled with it. I'm ready to be obedient and I'm willing to step out. But I think it doesn't always just happen like instantly, you know. It's sometimes there's a process behind it.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's easy for me to get frustrated in that process because sometimes I feel like, oh, I should be, again, it's expectations again of what I put on myself and thinking that I should be somewhere else. I should be able to do this. I should be able to hear God right away. You know, all these shoulds. And I think that's where easy for me to struggle and listening to God or being a disciple.
It's funny, we're sitting here pointing at each other like, who's going next? Meanwhile, one thing I think that has been really cool to me is I feel like the Lord has put different people or different podcasts or different books to read or different things for you to do. And it's not, sometimes it's for you, but sometimes it's for other people too. Mm-hmm. And so you did bring a book to share. Do you want to share a little bit about the book that you've been reading? And
I haven't quite started. I read like 2 pages because I just got it yesterday.
It got delivered by Amazon yesterday.
It's called The Domestic Monastery, Creating a Spiritual Life at Home. So I've heard on different podcasts this book being mentioned, and I was kind of interested in it. And I went on Amazon and like read the reviews and then listened to the audio sample. And I was like, oh my gosh, I think I have to get this. And listening to it kind of made me, I cry about everything. And it was one of those things where I was crying, just looking back at being with young kids and being at home, feeling like I'm not where I should be for the kingdom because I'm stuck at home with little kids. But this book, I think, focuses on having, creating a spiritual life at home. So what I would do as a parent at home that is doing something for the kingdom. And so then I always think of the young moms or moms with young kids at Catalyst and how I would like to be able to just encourage them in that way when they feel like they're stuck at home or they're just not able to do, you know, some of them can't. I've heard people say, you know, it's hard for them to get to a Bible study or such and such because of childcare. You know, and so it's easy to feel like you're missing out. So it's, yeah. So
I think that's a good point too. Like sometimes, you know, like you learn that lesson after the fact, right? But because you learned it and you're willing to help somebody else, like you're acting as like a disciple to somebody else, you're going to help them not have to go through that. And I think that's the part of being in community, is we can bring that to each other. Like we don't all have to go through the same struggles, right? If our struggles can prevent somebody else from having, or overcoming our struggles can help somebody else not have to even go to the depths that we had to. So I think that's a cool thing to view as a church body.
And I feel like that's just how I usually am, is when I get excited about something, I want to share it. That's why people get lots of podcasts from me, because I'll listen to it and I get really excited about certain things. And sometimes I have to listen to it more than once because I'm taking notes, especially when I'm sending it to Damon and Kyle.
The notes help, because then I'm like, wow, should I listen to this? Nah, this one's not for me. But yeah, this one has some good stuff. I'm going to listen to it.
Yeah. Because I think because of what I'm learning and what Jesus is doing in my life, I want to be able to share that with other brothers and sisters in Christ and their journey as well. And it might not be for them, but like Kyle said, if they're looking at my notes of what I took from the podcast, for instance, he can decide for himself, is this the right season in my life, or, you know, what's going on in my life? Is it applicable? Things like that.
I think it's cool because you're discipling out of who you are, right? Because that just comes natural for you, and that you like to take the info in, but it's not just for you. You're doing it, you know, for yourself, but you're also doing it with the mind of like, who else can benefit from this? And that's a good thing, because a lot of people just, they don't have the space to go search it out or don't know where to start. And so that gives them a jump start.
And I think that the enemy is really good at accusing people of not being good enough and not being able to share, or being making them afraid to share what they've been doing or what they've been going through or their struggles, right? Because we live in a society that it's all about showing the good side and not necessarily showing the struggles that we've been through. And the enemy is really good at pointing those things out and saying, you don't have anything to share. But I think that really ties into what we've been talking about, especially at the beginning of this episode, is, you know, Jesus wants us to know that we can be like him. And we have something that we can offer, whether it's 2 fish and 5 loaves or more or less. We have something that we can offer to people. And I think the picture that Mimo has, or that she's exemplifying, is really the picture that God wants us for us. As we learn, as we grow, he just wants us to share that with other people, and that will help other people on their journey so that they're able to move closer to him. So in that way, she's a disciple who's making other disciples, right? And really, that's the picture that Jesus gives us in the Great Commission, is, right, is go and make disciples of all the nations, right? And so how do we do that? We become disciples, allow Jesus to transform us, and then share that with other people, and then allow Jesus to transform them too. And so I think that's a cool picture of kind of how it can look for us to be disciples who make disciples. And really, that's what Jesus wants from us. That's why he sent us out to do the Great Commission.
And I think just hearing you say that, I feel like I'm supposed to say that we want to be guarded against the lie that the enemy puts in our mind that we can't disciple until we're better or perfect or, you know, higher level, because that's not how, like, it's not how it works. We learn from each other, even in the midst of our being discipled by God. Like, we're maybe only a little bit ahead, but that's still a place where that's going to help somebody else. So, you know, for listeners, don't feel like you have to perfect it or totally understand or totally get to a certain place before you can be a disciple for other people.
I think it's good to struggle together with some of the, you know, things. Like, I'll hear certain things on podcasts and I'll kind of run it by Kyle and Damon, and I'm like, I'm not sure if I understood what this person said. So it's good to, like, have another person to talk to about what you're learning or what you're hearing, what you're reading, what you're seeing, because we need to have godly discernment. So sometimes we need help in that area of being challenged, and like getting challenged in our thinking. Is it biblical, or is it something that's being influenced by others? So I think that's good that when you're with other brothers and sisters walking in our journey to grow and be more like Christ, we're able to share things that we have questions about and things that we struggle about. And I think it's good to have that community to do that.
Kind of to tie in with what you're talking about, Mimo, in walking together, I think one of the things that we're trying to do with the reading plan is we're trying to find ways, are there ways that we can do this in community as well? So coming pretty soon, we're going to try to make a little bit of interactive discussion with the reading plan. And I don't know, Kyle, should we release a little bit now?
I think so.
Okay, so on one of the upcoming podcasts, sometime in March, we will have a Q&A with a pastor where we're going to open it up to our listeners and to our congregation where people can submit questions that they've come across in the reading plan and ask one of our pastors to answer one of the questions. So, and those will be answered on Engage to Flourish podcast.
Wow, that was pretty good. I like that. That's a good teaser. You know, but part of our heart behind that is, we want there to be community. So whether that's one way to get you and to interact with other people about what you're reading. Maybe if you have a family at home that's reading it together. If you have a small group, reach out to somebody else at church that, hey, would you like to daily, you know, text back and forth about what you're reading. Like Mimo said, it's just so much more impactful when you're doing it in community and you have somebody else to bounce things off of. Mm-hmm. So that's really, you know, part of our heart behind the reading plan. And for like the teaser Damon release, we're not going to be doing those all the time because we also don't want to spoon feed you. I mean, we want you to develop and learn to rely on other people, but we're trying to come up with creative ways to like get you to experience what that community is like. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think one thing that's been really cool for my family is as we've been going through the reading plan together is that it's kind of neat that with The Chosen, they've, you know, kind of coalesced and aligned with some of the readings that we've done so far because, we're in the beginning of Matthew and The Chosen still in the beginning of Jesus's ministry. And so sometimes the kids will be asking a question about something we read and it's like, oh, actually, we can go watch what that could look like because, mm-hmm. you know, The Chosen does have its creative side to it where mm-hmm. it's not trying to take it exactly from the Bible because it might be one verse that they're trying to expand into a 30 or 45 minute episode, mm-hmm. but it gives them a tangible picture of what it could look like. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been something cool. So as we, like earlier this week, we read about the man with the withered hand and Jesus healing that. Mm-hmm. And my kids had no clue what a withered hand would look like or what it or why someone would have a withered hand or things like that. So they were asking some of these questions and we watched that part of the episode and they were like, oh, that's what it might've looked like. That's pretty cool. So I think it just helps to give a tangible picture of what it could look like. And I think that's been pretty cool being able to do it in community like that.
I was thinking back on times when I've done devotionals together on YouVersion with other girlfriends. And when you do it as a group, after you read the devotional and then there's like a Bible reading, then there's a section where you can write your comments and thoughts and we can go back and forth with whoever's in your group. You can share that. So that's kind of cool when you're talking about community and going through reading plan or something together like that where you're able to kind of share your thoughts together. So going back to what you were talking about, I think that's
I'm shaking my head. Damon just pointed at me. I'm like, I think we're ready to wrap up this episode.
Yeah, so as we wrap up, I think one of the pictures that the Bible gives us for what it looks like in our journey of discipleship is God wants for us to experience more and more of the fruit of the Spirit each day. And I think fruit is a good picture because as God is transforming us in our walk closer to Him, we will experience more of the fruit and then we'll be able to become trees that are producing that fruit and other people can taste from it and experience it as well. And so I think that's a cool picture for us in our discipleship journey is that that's what God wants for us to be full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And if you don't know where that is, that's Galatians 5:22.
Good job.
So I think that's a good way to wrap for this episode. Thanks again, Mimo, for coming on.
I did think of one thing. I know.
You just told me to wrap it up, and now
you looked at me, and I'm like, well, this is part of the wrap up, I think. But it's been really good to go through this for 4 weeks, right? To go through about this concept of being a disciple. I think that's going to carry forward throughout the year. And just wanted to, you know, kind of let the listeners know that our next episode, we're actually going to start a new topic that's created and called. So we're just going to be a new sermon series. So I just wanted to whet your appetite for that. I think that one, we're gonna go over some challenging topics, and I think it's gonna be good.
Yeah. So be on the lookout for that series. Some of the topics are gonna be interesting, and I think we're gonna have some pretty interesting conversations on them.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Be on the lookout for the next series. But until then, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season. Thanks for listening to the Engage to Flourish podcast. We hope that you enjoyed this episode and encourage you to subscribe on Apple, Google, or Spotify so that you don't miss any new content. You can also check out our sister podcast, Catalyst Stories, available on multiple platforms as well. We would also love for you to check out our church. We meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. at Stanford Middle School in Long Beach.